as Alicia would say, my mic sounds right. My mic sounds right. Welcome back. Another episode of Verbal Gunplay. It's your boy Danny De Niro, aka D Money.
L double the golden lion. Bup, 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 bup. Welcome back to another episode of the Verbal Gunplay podcast.
Blah, blah, blah.
So, as is the new tradition, we are going to open the show with a little segment we like to call Ask a Unk. You know, me and your boy D. We at that age now where people look up to us and they, you know, call us Big Unk or whatever, and they want the little young cats and maybe even some dudes our own age. We want to ask questions. Yep, so since we are such a dynamic duo, we can hit it from different angles. Pause.
No pause. We can do that shit.
Okay, so this week's first question is from a young man named AP. AP says,
"What's up, AP?
I am a 26-year-old black male.
Okay.
I make $60,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and I live alone, take care of myself, my own place. Recent, last 2 weeks, my girl has lost her job as well as got into an argument with her parents because she lived with her parents, as he says. And she's been staying with him for the last couple of weeks. Recently, I'm thinking within the last 24 hours, she came to him and said she wants to go back to school, go to college, but does not want to work while she's doing so and wants to live with him, basically him take care of her while she do so. And she gave him the whole, you know, men, 50-50 bills, take care of your woman speech. And he is not really sure what to do about it. And whether or not he should do it, he told her to give him 48 hours to think about it, which would upset her. But he still feels like he needs to think about that. He's not sure which way she goes. So he wants to ask us, what do we think of that situation?
Well, based off of what you just said, I would immediately say no. And the only way that I would do something like that is if we were married. And the reason for that is, so you want to just live with me while I take care of everything, while you go to school, upgrade, get a degree, all this good stuff. What's to say that I sit there and I invest that next 3 to 4 years of doing that I don't end up looking like a trick in the end? Because you could just up and go. You're going to be in school. You're going to make connections. You're going to meet people. And you might decide that you want to do something different upon graduation. And what am I going to say? Oh, give me back 50% from the past 4 years. I have no ties to that. I have nothing that secures me. So that is why I said it's an immediate no for me.
An immediate no.
And the only way I would consider it is if we were married. That's the only way.
Okay. For me, first, I would say, because this person didn't say two things. How long has he been with this girl? And the second one, have you talked to your parents about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your parents, see what they have to say, or parent, take what they have, what advice they have to give seriously and consider it. Depending, you know, they may say the same thing we say.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely any other adults in your life. But I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
If this is your wife we're talking about, this is a no-brainer, right?
No-brainer. Partnership.
But even if you're in a long-term relationship with the person, let's say I've been together for 3-4 years, for the same reason, I'd be like, no, because that also means this person's not paying any bills. They have no skin in the game of what goes on in his household.
This is what I'm saying.
So I would say maybe the compromise could be you work part-time, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, you can designate what bill you pay or bills you pay. Yeah. And you go to school and I'm willing to carry the extra load because you don't work full-time. But that'd be something I may be willing to do in a long-term relationship where you're sure this is a like the one. This is some chick you've been with for a few months. Like, you shouldn't even be considering this.
Well, bro, I mean, let's do simple math here. You said he makes 60 grand, right?
That's what he said.
And I'm assuming he's full-time. So let's just go off of his math.
Mm-hmm.
If she works part-time, she makes 30 grand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you consider taxes. You know, she might see about 15 grand. So there's 12 months in the year. So you're telling me she makes a little bit over $1,000 a month?
Yeah, let's just say $1,500 a month. Yeah.
Let's say $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You think a woman is going to be willing to, let's say half of that. You think a woman's going to be willing to put $750 towards bills? I don't think so. Because now you're talking about she's got $750 to herself a month. Have you seen the upkeep on women? See, us, we could just shit shower, throw a t-shirt on, yeah, go out the house, and we fine. They got to buy all kinds of cosmetic, beauty. You know, then it goes back to talking about got to have a car. And now we're talking about tuition. Now we're talking about food. Like, so you think a woman is going to be willing? Now, I understand she's asking him to be willing to sacrifice. But do you think a woman is going to be willing to sacrifice for, let's call it 4 years? Because she's going back to school. Most school degrees is going to be at least 4 years for something good.
Yeah.
So you think a woman is going to sacrifice for 4 years when there's niggas out here that will just be a sponsor and do nothing? Hmm. You don't have to give anything. And this is why I said I wouldn't do it, because I am not tied to any kind of commitment. Like, yeah, we go together, but that could change at a drop of a dime. There's nothing holding us together. There's no kid. There's no marriage. Mm-hmm. There's no nothing. You're staying with me. You're not even on the lease. Like, what are we talking about? Yeah. You could just, Romeo could come tomorrow. And because you've been sitting there giving me $750 of your little $30,000 a year while you get your degree, you might entertain Romeo. Let's say you down to the last two semesters before you graduate, and Romeo comes from the sky. He got you doing what? He got you paying what?
Oh, nah, queen, I'll take care of you.
Girl, you about to be making 130 grand a year. You about to double up on this nigga. Come stay with me. I got you. You ain't got to pay nothing. We'll glow up together.
I'm sure her angle in this, too, is like, oh, you already taking care of yourself and pay for everything. I'm just coming along. And if she's saying she's just coming in there and he ain't got to pay for extra hair and nails, and not like the utilities ain't going to go up, have another person in there. Look, I know like what we're saying kind of sounds like we're speaking like out of fear, but mm-hmm. you don't have no commitment. There's nothing secure that says that you're even going to reap any benefits from her furthering her career. That's why we say getting married.
Yeah.
That means both of y'all can get the bag. Yeah. By the time she finishes college, you maybe got a promotion or two. She come out making as much as you or more because she's in college. I mean, I don't know. He didn't say what his college background was. Yeah. You know, who knows what kind of promotion you get.
No, for sure.
Now y'all kicking up and making, you know, six figures plus together.
Now you winning.
That's great, right?
Yeah.
But if y'all, this is just your girl, like, and y'all, again, he didn't say how long they was together.
Yeah.
There's, like you said, there's no commitment or nothing. She could walk as soon as the whole thing mm-hmm. is over, and you finance the whole thing. Not only was you paying all the bills, but we know you're going to have to take her out, maybe get her hair and nails done, all of the kind of stuff. That's even more expenses. So you may have been able to save money. Like, if you was making $60,000, you live by yourself, depending on how you live, you was probably able to save a little something every month. That shit gone if you're going to mm-hmm. take on the responsibility of a girl and she ain't paying.
Absolutely.
The only reason why I say it's a possibility, if you've been with this girl for a long time, you trust her, you know her, and you know, you guys come up with some sort of compromise where she pays the utilities, let's say, and you pay the rent.
Yeah.
And at least she got some skin in the game, and depending on how she reacts to that, it kind of sounded like she was upset that you even thinking. He's made it seem like she was upset that she was even thinking about the while he had to think about it for 48 hours. She was upset.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah, that's a red flag, my guy.
You basically got upset. Think about this. You got upset because before I committed to basically letting you become my dependent for the next 4 years, I told you, give me 48 hours to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't fair.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, you should feel some type of way if I just immediately was like, okay, yeah. Because if you really love me and you want to be with me long term, you should be questioning why I would make such a rash decision so quickly.
So quickly.
So no. Now, yes, like what you were talking about with the combined income, yes. This can have an amazing ending. Like, you guys could glow up together. Y'all could be making 200 grand combined income and live a wonderful life. But I'm just speaking from a reality standpoint, because it could also go left where you just sacrificed. Because let's just be real. While she's growing for these 4 years, you're going to be stagnant. You're going to be at a standstill because you're not going to be in any position to really grow financially, because the extra money that you're making, it's going to go towards disposable income or towards the extra that you just added on. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go grocery shopping, you may basically buying two of everything. You know what I'm saying? Comes the water, you're using two of it. She probably using three of water of the water bill. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the only thing she showers. The only thing she probably not gonna hurt you on is the electricity, and that's because she at school. You know, y'all both gonna be using electricity at the same time. She at school when you at work, so it's not too much on the electricity. But you definitely gonna be using up that water. And girls gonna be taking, and you want a girl that's gonna be taking a lot of showers, so you want her to be clean. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't want to see you take that risk and you miss out on that happy ending. And it's the, oh my God, 4 years went by. I did this. Now I'm older and this. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's something you really got to think about. Now, I know Lamont said, oh, you know, I would maybe consider it if we were going together for 3-4 years. I'm going to tell you right now, we could be going together for a decade and I wouldn't even consider it if there's no kind of ties. Like, that's just, and that could be just me because I've been burnt by different, you know, situations in the past, but that just goes with learning and growing, you know. So I just won't put myself in a position to ever be burnt like that bad. Like, I'm not about to sacrifice for 4 years and there's nothing protecting me. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that, you know, she's walks away with the degree, but that's shit. Half that degree is yours. You put her up to get that degree. You put money towards that degree.
Yeah, we even talked about how the college would be paid for.
This is what I'm saying. Either. Like, and is she going to turn around and go get, and I'm not saying she's going to do this, but I'm just speaking on the side of this could happen. She going to turn around, go get 120K a year job, and she going to look at you and be like, you was getting by just fine. I don't owe you nothing. And it turns into all this, and then it just blows up. And then now you sitting there like the old Looney Tune cartoons where you just turn into a lollipop. You know, you just sitting there staring at the, you just staring in the mirror, like turning into a lollipop, like, yo, she got me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you might have missed out. You might have blocked your blessings. It could have been other women that you could have glowed up with. It could have been money that you could have set aside. You could have invested. It's all kinds of things you could have did that you're going to now miss out on. So I'm not trying to discourage you.
What?
Even though you might be discouraged. I'm just saying, be well aware of the risk that you are putting yourself in. And I would be like, I don't know. Like, I would literally, like, my eyes would be, like, wide open. Because the last thing I would want is, like I said, to go through 4 years of that. And then she just up and leave.
But why even put yourself in a situation where your eyes got to be wide open?
No. I'm saying if I went that way. I would be, my eyes would be wide open. I'd be paying attention to everything. Like, like I said, that should depend. I'm being a whole parent. I'm talking about two semesters in, let me see your report card type shit. Like, I want to make sure that you're sticking to the game plan. Make sure you're not playing me. You're not going to be just staying up with me and talking about this is what you're building towards and you're not taking it serious. Like, I want to see that you're taking it serious. Like, if I'm over here paying for the roof over our head, making sure you're good, you got a place to stay, all you got to do is go to school, I want to see A's.
She gonna hate that. She ain't gonna like that shit.
Okay. Now let's flip it. You just said she gonna hate that. She gonna hate the fact that he's, I don't want to say demanding, but requiring her excellence. She's gonna hate that. So let's flip it then. He gets into it with his parents. He want to come stay with her. She making 60 grand a year.
Oh, nah.
Exactly. I ain't even got to finish the whole thing. Yeah, she immediately dubbing that, right?
Well, I would tell him, no, don't do that.
But she is immediately dubbing it. It's not too many women that's going to be like, oh, yeah, you can just stay with me for the next 4 years, and I'm going to help you become the man you need to be. It's not happening.
Yeah, but niggas is known to upgrade when they think they're better. Well, I guess females do it, too. So that just goes with what we're saying. For me, it's the same thing as if a girl is like wanting to have a baby with somebody you're not married to. Like, why would you, if you're thinking about, like, you guys are planning that? Mm-hmm. Nah, like that. Then these are all the reasons. Same thing. No commitment. You don't know what the person's going to do down the line.
Yeah.
Same thing. So all of that up is, I would just say, since your gut feeling told you hold up and think about it, you already know this is a bad idea, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say no. I guarantee you, if you talk to your parents or whoever's in your life as a parent figure, they're going to tell you this is bad, don't do that, because of the same reasons we said. So I know the internet's probably telling you, oh man, I don't want no 50-50 man, as they be saying, and you're supposed to take care of your woman, whatever, but that's not your woman, that's just your girlfriend. And, and y'all was married, again, this will be a no-brainer, but since y'all not, pull out of that. And if she might be mad and break up with you, whatever, all right, bro, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
You already in the top, as far as statistics go, you're already in the top percent of males out here. You're good.
Yeah. And if and let's be real. And if she really loved you, she's not going to put you in a position to have you uncomfortable for the next 4 years. Because that's an uncomfortable position to be in. I'm just being honest. And like I said, if there's no tie involved, I'm not even considering it at all. There's nothing for me to even consider. Nothing whatsoever. Right. And I wouldn't go and don't go get married to make some kind of commitment.
Damn, I didn't even think about that.
The only commitment that I would create because of this, she's not going to want to do. But what I would do, I would create some sort of, like, I don't know, some sort of contract. Wow. Some sort of contract of some sort where if we don't work out or something, then you have to pay me back 25% of what I put. Something where I'm getting something back. That's if crazy. It don't work out.
They're not gonna do
so
that.
It's not marriage, but it's something like a marriage, you know? And that's the only way I would even consider it. And if she ain't even trying to do that, that tells me all I need to know. Because roles reverse, I would sign that contract. If I had a woman who's gonna hold me down while I get a degree and whatnot, I don't even have to think about leaving her because I'm already madly in love. The fact that she would even consider to help put me in a position to become a better man. Mm. I'm not thinking about leaving no woman like that. Mm. I don't give a fuck what birds fly in my area. However, roles reverse. If a nigga is sitting there with a soft pillow cushion talking about that nigga got you living rough, come over here, kick your feet up. Mm. You want to get your little degree? That's cool. You get your degree, but you still ain't got to work. Come over here with a soft life. She gone.
But if he's already doing that for her, then what was she going to
do? He's not giving her the soft life.
Like, if she just, all she do is go to school and he work and take care of the bills, that's the soft life, right?
That ain't the soft life. Girls want to, first of all, he making 60 grand and taking care of two people while one is going to school. Do you think they got money for dates?
Yeah. They're not going to Roost.
Yeah, Chris. This is what I'm saying. That's what I mean by soft life. Yeah. You think he's buying flowers every week? No, like, he's on a strict budget. He's on a strict budget.
Them Kroger $5 special.
Yeah, though. Like, they lucky. He couponing. He looking for the coupon. It's going to be a long time before that nigga have crab legs again.
It ain't that bad, though. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. I think we done beat this one dead, nigga. Don't do it, dog. Don't do it. That's what we have to say.
Yeah. So if I had to come to a conclusion, whether do it or don't do it, me, I'm never doing it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. I'm going to just put myself in your shoes. I'm never doing it. Yeah. I'm never doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So we in agreement on that one. This next. So we got a second one. Well, I'm married, so. Next question. So we only got two this week.
Okay.
This one is a little bit weirder because I don't think either of us have experience with that. This one come from, I guess if you want to do acronyms on it, it'd still be AP, but Anthony P is what he said on this one.
Okay. What's up, Anthony?
And Anthony wants to know, since we're older cats, we grew up in the early 90s, 80s, do we have any experience with drug addiction and the crack epidemic, and how did it affect our lives?
No.
crack I have no experience with drug addiction personally. Like, I was never addicted to drugs.
Right.
But how did it affect my life with other people I knew? Like, a lot.
Oh, yeah, that I can speak on. That, like, that's what I mean. Like, I have, like, listen, all my uncles, aunts, all of them, they grew up in that era with the crack. And I got to see those effects firsthand. Like, like, I'm talking, like, I used to hate, like, when I finally moved with my dad when I was, like, 14, I used to hate when I used to go back home to New York and visit family because everybody knew I had a soft life in California compared to New York. Yeah. And every time I would come out, like, I would go back home with less clothes. I'd have to hide my wallet because they would go through the little bit of allowance that I had for the summer. Like,
that's crazy.
You know, I seen, I ain't going to put no names to it, but I seen family doing drugs. I seen family running from the police, in and out of jail, shooting at, shot at. Like, I seen all kinds of stuff that came from drugs, and it's not pretty. Like, and those were the hardcore drugs back then. Like, those drugs, like, you didn't die from those drugs back in the day. You just did awful shit. The drugs today, you dying from. So, the upside is you're not doing anything dirty to family. You're just killing yourself. Man. That's the upside to today's drugs. But yeah, those them drugs back in the 80s and 90s, man. Yeah, that stuff, like, that was the real shit. Like, it didn't kill you, but as soon as that monkey hopped on your back, yeah, it had you. It, like, destroyed lives. It destroyed you, man. I got an uncle. I'll shout out his code. What's up, 88? I got an uncle, 88, and he was, like, one of the main ones. And it's funny, like, when I see him today, like, seeing how far he's come, like, he's not on drugs no more. You know, he's found religion. You know, he eats healthier. And it's just, it's like, wow. Like, because it's like, I'm seeing the road he had to take. So keep this in mind. This is, you know, I was, like, 14 seeing this guy being how he was, and this wasn't even when he started. This is like, this is just what I remember. Like, I'm sure he was doing this way earlier, you know. So it's like, all those years later, we talking like almost 30 years later, he's probably been doing them drugs for 30 years, and he's finally, like, clean now and off of that. So it's a tough road to run on for sure, because it's like, you know, is he, like, in the best situation in life? You know, I mean, no, but I mean, who is, really? You know, but is he doing a whole lot better and a whole lot more healthier today? Absolutely. You know, he's yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, a funny story, I remember, like, hanging out in the Bronx. Like, I remember one time we was hanging out on the block, and cops was looking for him, right? And this had to be, like, one of the most funniest things I've ever witnessed. Like, the cops is chasing him, right? And you know how, like, a T intersection where it's, like, a long road like this, and then the road right in the middle, so it's T. Mm-hmm. Like, that middle portion of the T intersection, I literally watched this man for 2 minutes straight run in a circle away from the cops. Like, they're chasing him, and he's just running in a circle. Like, he's not going nowhere, but they're not catching him. And
they don't, like, cut across to catch
him. No, he's just, like, running. Up. He's just running in a whole circle, weaving between the cars. And I'm just sitting there on the block, looking at my friends, looking at him, and I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, is this really happening? Yeah, like,
what world are we living in?
Yeah, like, you know, and, you know, that's one of the things. And but he's a real smart dude, because I've never seen somebody who has been to jail as many times as him and be free. Like, when I, you know, just shout out to my niggas locked up. They call it the law library. A lot of niggas, you got the niggas that go to jail and they do nothing. Mm-hmm. They just sit there and wither away. Then you got the niggas who do nothing but work out and stay to themselves. But then you got the niggas that try and better themselves. They go in there and they hit that library. They start reading up on laws and codes and things that can work in their advantage, previous court cases, things that they can align with what they got going on, so they can use that for a lighter sentence. He was the man at that. I swear, every time this guy went to jail, he was home a week later. he probably been to jail over a dozen times that I've seen, and he's free today.
That's crazy.
So
that crack shit, I'm probably, because this guy's younger, mm-hmm. always hears all the stuff about, you know, what it was like in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
I think all of us kids from that age, no matter what city and stuff we was in, was touched by it in some way. Some people more than others. Mm-hmm. Like, I had family members that did drugs.
Yeah.
I had family members that sold drugs. I had family members that sold drugs to the family members that did drugs. And it affected my life directly, and with family and friends and situations and relationships around me. It was pretty crazy, pretty devastating. I think to this day, like, a lot of people have asked me, like, hey, man, you ever tried mushrooms or coke or whatever? And I'm like, no. And they were like, what? Really? I'm like, bro, I've seen the destruction of drugs. And even when, like, meth caught on in, like, the late 90s, saw that shit too. Mm-hmm. And what it did to friends, one of our closest friends.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And we just, you know, just stayed away from that shit because we just saw the destruction it caused, pretty much what it came down to. So I know it all seems like, you know, like a distant memory for a lot of y'all, but we remember that shit. We got those same family members. Most of them are still alive today, you know, made it out of it, whether they've turned their lives around or they're still dealing with the repercussions of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
It was devastating. So me, myself, I never got into any of those drugs, but just so many people around me did and affected our lives in such, you know, definitely a negative way. I can't even say that there was any way that was positive other than I survived it, right?
So. Well, it actually is a positive because you got to see the trial by others.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Because that's what it was for me. Because I can't sit here and act like I ain't ever done drugs. I've done a ton of drugs. See, with me,
I did weed. That's the most. I never.
I'm saying I've done a ton of drugs. Like when I say a ton, I don't mean like a dozen drugs, but I mean like I've done at least like okay. So I've done weed. I've done coke before. I've done ecstasy. I want to try mushrooms. I think that's it. I think that's it. Fuck no. So for me, this is the thing for me. Like when it comes to drugs, I never done meth. I never done heroin. Like I'm like a product of my environment. I do the drugs that look cool. You know, anytime I've seen somebody do coke in movies or in whatnot, they're always having a blast. They're having a good time. They always look like they're hella rich. Like, I don't do the drugs where niggas look like they're homeless and on the side of the streets. Like, nothing in me says, oh, I want to try that drug. You know, because that's the meths, the heroin, the crack. Every time you see them, they look like they haven't taken a bath in a year. You know, they're on the side of the road. They're tweaking. Like,
I never noticed that.
I don't want to do that drug. But now, if I see movies like Belly, niggas are smoking weed, and they just walking around, just chilling, vibing, cracking jokes. Oh, I want to try that drug. You know, if I watch Tony Montana and Scarface doing a line of blow, and he's all turned up like, ah, you whores, da 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 da, fuck with the bad guy. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to try that drug. But when I see niggas shooting up and then they just fall asleep out, yeah. And they crashing out and then they always in some ran through fucking broke down apartment. Yeah. And I just look around, I'm like, ugh, I don't wanna do that. Like that and that's just facts. Like, and the reason why I say I want to do mushrooms is because, you know, I'm not saying I want to be like doing mushrooms every weekend or something, but I just want to at least try it while I'm still fairly young. I don't wanna wait till I'm like 80 to be like, I'm gonna try some shrooms and fucking be one of these niggas just the 80s walking around, just don't know where he at and my family looking for me type shit. But, you know, when you watch movies or you talk about people's experience with mushroom, it seems cool. It seems chill. Something that I'd want to experience. Like, you've seen that movie Natural Born Killers?
Yeah.
They shroomed out in there.
Them all.
Yeah, and that looks cool. That's what I mean by...
I get, now that you point that out,
yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because it's like product of my environment. That's
to
why
me
I said,
in my head, they all looked into the same shit.
Yeah.
And my family has shown a propensity to drug addiction, alcoholism, all of that shit.
Yeah.
So it just, and all the things that happened and experience I've had in my lifetime, it just made me terrified that A, it would happen to me, and B, I would visit those same horrors on my own family. Mm. So I just like, I'm good.
And that's true. It is possible. Like a lot of those drugs that I tried, it's a possibility I could have gotten addicted. And today I'm like strung out on it. But I guess luckily I'm just fortunate that that's not my high of choice. Yeah. You know, everybody knows me. My high of choice is sports, gambling, that kind of, that's my high of choice. You know, I'm not saying it's any better, but I'm able to identify what my addiction is. My addiction is like, I have to watch sports. Like, for example, during the pandemic, I was miserable. If there was ever a time I thought about committing suicide, that was it. I'm just keeping it a buck, bro, because I found myself in a place where there
that
was
shit happened in the middle in the summer after football season.
Yeah.
I think baseball was shut down because that's
it happened right before March Madness was about to start. It happened in the middle of March.
Well, it started in the middle of March and a lockdown kicked in full string by the third week of March in 2020.
Yeah.
And then everything was fucking shut down.
Everything was shut down.
And that whole summer was garbage.
This is what I'm saying. So there was, and going into basketball, I think basketball didn't kick up till what, like?
It was late. It was like September.
Yeah.
September, October.
And then they were like in their own little enclosed bubble. This is what I'm saying. Like, so for those 6 months, oh, it was miserable, bro. Like, you turn on ESPN, you turn on First Take, and they're talking about COVID. Like, I don't want to see this shit. Like, what am I watching? CNN? Like, I need my fix. Like, I literally, every morning, I wake up to ESPN. Every morning. ESPN. The show's called Get Up, as a matter of fact. Oh. That's me. I get up to ESPN, and then after that, I'm listening to First Take while I'm outside. Not having my sports during the pandemic, that's when I identified with my addiction, because I was miserable. And I was actually in a good place financially and everything, but I was just miserable because it was like I couldn't do anything. Sports is my everything. Like, I need my sports.
I'm not even saying
just I needed to gamble. Like, I'm saying, like, I need my sports. Like, sports is my peace. Sports is my peace. So that's my addiction.
When you say it like that, if I had to say something was my addiction, it'd probably be gaming, bro. There was a point where I basically didn't have nothing to game on because I took everything I had so I could, like, buy my house and furnish it and all that shit. So I, like, didn't really have nothing. Sold all that shit, you know, so I can get
that whatever is crazy. I needed. Listen to that sentence you said. You sold all your prized possessions so you get a house, and you didn't have nothing. Nigga got a whole house. Nigga got a whole house, but was incomplete. I know, because you didn't have your peace. Like, yeah. You were in a good place. You just got a home and everything. Yeah. But as far as you, like, you did what was right for the family. But as far as, like, what was right for you, you were incomplete. Like, you need your game. Just like, yeah, I need sports, you need the games. The
down payment, then there's extra money on moving and furnishing.
Yeah.
All that stuff, right? So I, like, didn't have none. The only gaming system in the house was my son's Switch, because, you know, I'm not going to sell my son shit.
Yeah.
But he didn't really play it, so I started playing on that motherfucker. Yeah, that's how bad it was.
Yeah, Switch is that. I still say Switch is the best system. Like, that's still the best system.
Well, for a high-end tech nerd like, such as myself, the Switch technologically is the weakest of all the systems. Now, once I started playing it, I realized the actual gameplay of the Switch is top-notch.
That's what I'm saying. I just go off the gameplay. Here's my thing. Look where we come from, bro. I was just talking to my boy the other day. In my opinion, WrestleMania 2000 is still the greatest wrestling game I've ever played. Nigga. But look at those graphics. That shit is trash. Garbage.
But I love that game.
Garbage. But gameplay, that was some of the funnest fun I've ever had in my life. I'll never forget that summer. I just got an N64 with all these games. I had the WrestleMania 2000. I had Perfect Dark. I had GoldenEye. I had Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, and Pokemon Stadium. That was the funnest summer I ever had. This is probably the last summer that all my niggas on the block was tight. Because we were still young enough to where niggas ain't do everybody dirty. Niggas ain't fuck everybody bitch. And nobody did anybody dirty yet. We was all still tight knit. Yeah, we all fell out. Everybody done fucked everybody girl. Niggas done fought, shot at, all that bullshit. Wow. So, but this was back when we were still kids and everything was still pure. That was the funnest moment ever. The only thing that comes next to that was when Halo came out for Xbox. I had a lot of fun with that. Me and Jay, we was notorious for that, bro. We would drive around. We always had an extra Xbox and TV in our car. Anytime somebody wanted it, pull up. We got the Ethernet hub and everything tied to the TV.
Yeah, I was in a couple of those LAN parties. To this day, if I ever eat Pringles or fucking Mountain Dew, that Mountain Dew red shit, that's the first thing I think of is Halo fucking LAN parties. We lived on fucking Pringles and Mountain Dew playing that shit. Oh, man, that was fucking good time.
Yeah,
Even though I sucked and y'all niggas was absolute murderers in that game, I still had fun.
Bro, we took that shit to the heart. Shout out my boy Jay, Liquid Shrapnel.
Yeah, bro, I hated that nigga, bro. As soon as I turned the corner, dick. I didn't even see this nigga yet. I didn't even see him yet. I think it got me. But yes, sir. It was still fun to play, though.
Oh, yeah. Such a great time. Oh, while we're talking about reliving gaming. And then I would say, okay, so those are my three funnest gaming moments. That summer of N64, Halo, and then Phantasy Star.
Okay, before we dive all the way into this gaming shit, because we're fit to.
Yeah.
Anthony.
Oh,
we had drugs touch our lives in that way, but we didn't have to overcome any addictions. Even my man here did a little bit extra stuff to me. I think because your mind wasn't doing those drugs to compensate for some loss or to fill some hole or emotional fill. You was like, I want to have fun like they do, so I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. You did it, have fun, and your mind was able to contextualize it like that. I think that's probably one of the reasons why you didn't really get addicted, especially to coke, because they say that can be a one-hitter quitter. But Meg's like, not for me.
Bro, I've only done it twice.
Not like killer. I mean, you do it first. No. What
I'm saying, well, I'm saying I was mad because if anybody that knows me or hangs out with me, they already know I'm already like an uppity guy. Like, I'm already, like, I don't even need Coke. Because Coke gets you up, like, not like that, but Coke gets you, like, you know, hyper. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I was told. So when I took the Coke, I was like, I ain't even feel nothing. So I was like, whatever. I wasn't about to do another line. So it was another time where there was some Coke, and I trusted the person that had it. So I tried it, and it didn't do nothing for me. And I said, oh, that's it for me. I'm like, I'm never doing this again. Because, and then that's also what the person I did it the second time, even though I trusted them, they charged me for the line. And I was like, well, how much is that? And it was like $40. I was like, $40 for that? And I ain't feel shit? Man, here. Get this shit out of here. So he goes, like, get this shit out of here. I ain't fucking with this shit. I'm like, you know what? I could have had a game. Even if I played that for 4 hours only and threw it away, I got 4 hours or something. I just did a $40 of Coke and I ain't got no feeling. Get that. But to wrap this up.
Yeah. Drugs is only indirectly, I guess you could still say directly, but affected our lives and stuff like that. I assume that this person asked the question is younger, because anybody our age group would already know we need to ask these questions. So,
right.
Shout out to AP or AP and then Anthony P. If you guys have any other questions as far as Ask Unc, you can email us at Verbal Gunplay Podcast.
The Verbal Gunplay at gmail.com.
Yeah. And shoot your questions. A lot of these questions is coming from people physically asking me in real life, or like my job, I had people anonymously write the notes and give it to me. So these two are anonymous ones I took. I don't even know who gave them to me. There's a lot of young black dudes at my job. So when I put that out there, niggas was like, oh yeah, I got something, was writing on
questions. Oh, that's what's up.
So we should be fed with questions for a minute. I got a few more.
Okay. Yeah. So if y'all got any questions, I'm gonna add this to the video. verbalgunplay@gmail.com. And if you don't wanna do an email, if you a young, what is it, Gen Z or whatever, you don't do emails, then go to our social medias. Basically, all social medias at Verbal Gunplay.
Yeah, just hit us with a DM or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, what were you saying, Fantasy Star?
No, yeah, so we were talking about with the gaming. I was like, those are probably the three highlights of my life when it comes to gaming. Was the Halo era, that summer of that N64, because literally that summer, it was literally 2 months. That was the first summer back in New York that I visited where I stayed the entire summer. So it was like 2 months straight, because usually I would visit for like only a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So we had, bro, think about it, being a kid. Like, think about the responsibilities you have today with being a husband.
2 months all of doing that. Nothing.
So just imagine 8 weeks where all you do is wake up and play Nintendo with all your friends.
That'd be pretty good.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, those are some of the funnest 8 weeks of my life. And it's sad when I look back on it, because it's like nobody talks to anybody anymore. It's like it's all finished for that. Mm. It was just like child free, just like good times. And then, like I said, the Fantasy Star Online. Mm-hmm. This has to be probably the most gaming I've ever done for one kind of game. That first Fantasy Star Online. Right? Yeah, the Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. Like, looking back on that, because, you know, I was a kid at the time, and you just barely a fresh adult, I see why my dad was always so pissed. Because think about it, bro. We had to be on 56K modems and tie up the phone line to play that game, and we played for hours. I remember I had a character, my D-Money character, before this shit froze and everything, but I remember that character, that first character, I had 700 hours of gaming online. Yeah. 700 hours of gaming online, bro.
I think that's around the same. I used to play that shit from the moment I came home from work.
And that's just like that one character. Because after a while, I was so into it, I started creating multiple characters.
I don't think I ever created another character.
Because what would happen is I would have the character I would play with like people like yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I had the character that I would play, and I would just go venture off and find new people to play, because I was playing it that much.
Because I couldn't play because I had to work or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That game was a shit. We used to play the fuck out of that game. You know, when I quit that game, when I finally like, okay, I'm not playing this no more, I actually like gave all my shit away. I blessed a lot of people. Because, you know, we had some shit.
Yeah, remember, because we found the
hats and everything. So we had all the rarest shit. And I was I had multiple copies of shit. We was looking it up.
Yeah. So
remember that time your fucking boy jumped into one of our fucking matches and I didn't know who that nigga was?
Yeah, because this is back when niggas could do, what is it called, like PKs, like player kills or some shit?
Jump in there. There was a hack where you just jump in and everybody just dropped dead.
And it just dropped dead and drop everything they're holding. So you had to keep, it was to a point we had to keep everything in the safe. Like, you don't be walking with all your good shit and a nigga just zap you.
And then we had private games.
Yeah, so, to do the private games.
This nigga jumped in our private shit. I didn't recognize the name when that shit popped up. I lied the fuck out quick.
And then what eventually happened with me, I ended up losing my character on Dreamcast. Somebody had like hacked it to where I like lost all that, and I was like, I'm cool on this. And then like I think it was, that's when like a month or two later the volume 2 was coming out, and I think I had that on, I want to say, was that GameCube or was it still Dreamcast?
Wait, was it GameCube?
No, it was still Dreamcast. I still had it on Dreamcast. It eventually came out on GameCube.
It was a bootleg.
It was right on Dreamcast. No, it was the regular one.
All right.
I think it was the version 2. Because I think it came out on Dreamcast. And then I think that's also when they eventually had like a broadband attachment and whatnot. But then I started playing that. And that was cool. I forgot this nigga's name. But it was somebody I met back when I worked before it was GameStop, back when it was Software, et cetera. Is this nigga that used to come in there. And me and him used to play Phantasy Star Online. And I used to play at this nigga's house sometimes. And he had a roommate. And like all of us used to play Phantasy Star Online, right? And I remember literally our friendship ended in the second version of Phantasy Star Online, because do you remember they introduced a new mode in there where you could fight each other?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like you said, you had fun when you play Halo, but when it came to certain games, like I just was better at certain things. And in this particular thing, I was better at the versus mode in Phantasy Star than this nigga. Mm-hmm. And when we were playing the versus mode, I was whooping this nigga's ass. And you remember, we got the headsets. You could talk shit. So I'm like whooping this nigga's ass. And I'm like, get up. Psh, knocking him down. Get up. Psh, knocking him down. And he's like, man, fuck you, man. Man, fuck this shit. I ain't playing with you no more. Like, he got that mad to where he literally left the room. And then he blocked me on everything.
Damn.
And like, literally, friendship ended because of that game.
That's down. That nigga hated your ass anyway, probably. That's crazy as fuck.
But I can understand his anger, because I remember back when I used to be a hardcore gamer, I remember when I used to play stuff like Madden. Bro, that shit, I would want to kill you. Like, if you beat me in Madden, like, I friendship over. Like, I wanted to fight. Like, because Madden, like, you Madden players that play, you can relate to this. There's nothing worse than some bullshit happens in Madden, and then you lose, and then if the nigga you playing with is talking hella shit, like, I used to have crazy anger issues. Like, that's why I had to stop playing that shit, because I knew myself. See, that's what I'm saying? I identify my issues. Like, when I see that Madden and stuff like that was creating, like, this toxicity inside of me, I said, okay, I got to put this down, because there's no reason why, if I'm sitting here playing Madden with somebody and they beat me, that I want to kill them. Damn. It's bad. That's bad. So it's like, I had to just stop playing. Like,
I can relate. I did that with Street Fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Street Fighter made me snap on one of my kids out of nowhere. And I was like, you know what?
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
See, and I think that was like that was probably the extent of my anger, was like the Marvel vs. Capcom days. Shout out to our boy Simeon.
We didn't really get mad. Well,
no. I used to get mad. Me and this nigga Simeon.
Oh, because Simeon was the ultimate shit talker.
He was.
He's talking shit while he's comboing you.
Yeah. Oh, you see that? You see that? Like, he be fucking you up. Yeah. So me and him, we equally did that, and I think that I was able to control that because we all were at a point where we could all beat each other. It was like nobody that could just...
Yeah, nobody just, was dying.
Nobody would run the table 25 matches straight. Yeah. Everybody lost. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why that was easier to handle. But yeah, like, we used to talk crazy shit. Because, you know, that was back on Zalcon Boulevard. Like, that was like the headquarters. That was the pull-up spot. Like, it was always some bullshit or some good shit. And wild shit always happening there. It was never a dull moment.
Nah, for real.
But yeah, that was, man... Yeah, I missed that dude, man. That was some fucking good times playing with him.
Boy.
Yeah. That's that. Out of all the people you introduced me to, that's definitely my favorite, man. I don't think nobody could ever top Simeon, man. That was some good times, man. Because I told you all the Because all the wild stories I have with that nigga. Remember when I told you the one when we was driving down Texas Street? It was me, him, and Faison in the car? Man.
That nigga was just funny. He's just one of them people.
Funny dude. Good dude, man. Good dude. Call back to that first thing. Yeah, it's, you know, this, the drugs, man. The drugs just get you, man. Because I remember, you remember the nigga I used to rap with? Trees?
Yeah.
He was another one. He used to do the, business out there, but, you know, it is what it is. He was another one that was, like, smoking the crystal and all that meth stuff. And I would just, once again, you know, my thing, I'm like, doesn't look cool. Like, I'm looking at the niggas that smoking crystal, and I'm looking at their teeth and stuff, and I'm like, I'm not saying I have the best teeth, but I'm looking at their teeth, and I'm like, I don't want those teeth. Teeth look like they starting to fall out.
Those people always look broke. That's that too. So
yeah. So yeah, you know, that's what it was for me, and that's what it still is today. Like, I think I only do. First of all, when it comes to drugs or alcohol, like I'm only a social guy. Like I don't really partake in much stuff by myself. The only time I really do is like I'm not looking for a high. Like, let's use weed for example. Mm-hmm. There's times I might roll a joint and smoke half a joint because like let's say maybe I'm sore. And now I'm going to feel good. Like, my body's going to be relaxed. I go take a bath. I go to sleep. And I'm sleep like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm not, like, ODing on it. Like, you don't never, like, there's some people I know, while they're smoking weed, they're rolling up the next blunt. And then when that one's done, they're smoking that one. And then they're rolling up the next blunt. Like, that is crazy. Like, I don't even know how you could function like that. Because me. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You build up way too much tolerance. Because me, when I get high, that's it. Like, I'm tapped out. Like, I don't want to do nothing else after that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I was telling you last week, the Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Shout out to Pod God. He came through with some treats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came through with some treats. He was like, he warned me, too. But, you know, just like a nigga. You know, he had a little Ziploc bag. He's like, just take, like, half of the little gummy. And the gummy was like...
Oh, you got one of his gummy?
Yeah.
Bro, let me tell you a story for this fucking guy, bro. So, for y'all who may know, me and Pod God Rashad, we used to work together. And my wife, she has like a eye issue, right?
Yeah.
And the weed and shit helps.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
does. Like, takes the pain away from that shit. It mm-hmm. doesn't heal it. She's still going blind.
Yeah.
But it don't hurt. She don't feel all the pressure. So, like, she could actually qualify for a medical if they did that shit out here.
Yeah.
But anyway... He was like, let me give you a couple of these little gummies. And these motherfuckers look like little gumdrops, bro.
Yes.
And was like, let me give you a couple of these gummies. Give one to your wife. See what she like. I'm like, I get off work. I'm like, take one of these motherfuckers. I'm going to chill tonight and go to sleep. Bro. That's to this day, that's the most potent fucking gummy I've ever had in my life. I took that shit. I went home. Nigga, I was slumped high as fuck for like...
And it was
six
so and
hours.
It's so tiny.
Yeah, I was and while I'm high, I'm cursing this nigga's name. It's like fucking Rashad's fucking guy. He ain't tell me shit. My wife is coming over to me. She's hugging and kissing on me, but I really think she was investigating me because she's like, this nigga's high.
Yeah.
So she like smells, like you know, bitten all up on me. I'm sitting there like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like high as hell, watching TV, eating everything that I get my fucking hands on. I was high as hell. That shit. And that's after 4 hours, I'm still high, and this shit just would not let go. That's what I'm like, you know what, man? I'm just going to go to sleep. It was like 8 o'clock, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I went to sleep. I wake up the next day until it's time to go to work.
Yeah.
I woke up like 12 hours later. That shit fucking slumped me. Yeah. I was talking shit to that nigga the next day. I was like, what the fuck kind of edible was that?
Yeah, that shit's strong. He warned me.
So he brought that shit?
He said, take half. And I looked at it. It was one in there that was half, but I'm looking at a whole one. I'm like, this shit only like, it's tiny. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, give me a whole one, bro. Ate that shit. And, you know, like I said, I was hosting a game night. So I'm just making some tacos and shit. And it was like, I would say an hour went by, right? And somebody came to the crib and it was like, oh, yeah, I'll take some tacos. So I made them some tacos. And it was at that moment where it kicked in, but I didn't realize it kicked in, right? So I'm making the taco and then now put it on the plate and I'm walking back over here from the kitchen and I'm like, I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, you have the realization that the gummy's hitting you. So I'm like, I hand the plate. And now I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm the host. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I got to keep it together. You know, then I'm like, plus there's chicks around. You know, I got to look cool still. And I'm like, I was like, yo. But I felt that shit just like just gripping me tighter and tighter. I was like, yo, that shit. I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna eat. That'll help, you know, subsidize it. Made myself some tacos real quick. I literally sat right here in this corner, right? We playing Uno and shit. Mm-hmm. Sitting there just eating, slowly eating. And then out of nowhere, like, I'm in my own world, not even paying attention. And then I hear fucking Pod God, you good? And I was like, And he was like, yeah, I could see it in your eyes.
It got you.
And I just started busting up laughing. And anybody that's, well, at least for me, anybody that gets high, once you start laughing, that's it. Like, you done unleashed it. It's like when, like, bats come out of a cave and it's like, oh, you didn't close the cave fast enough. Like, it's like that. As soon as I let the laughter out, now I'm just bawling, laughing at everything. Mm. And, like, my only way of fighting it, I have to, like, just shut up. So I'm just sitting there like.
They can see that shit on your face.
And they see it on my face. Like, you good? And I'm like, Because I don't want to say anything because everything was funny. Like, yeah, because every time somebody would say something, I would just start busting up laughing. So, yeah, that was, I like little social stuff like that.
So, yeah, you're not like. I think, again, since you said social, it's like a lot of people, I think, and this is, again, just my opinion, when it comes to drugs and addiction and alcoholism and a lot of that, that weed or that alcohol or whatever they're taking, it's filling some sort of like hole or suppressing something, like they feel in a certain way and I'm getting high or I'm getting drunk to kind of not feel that for a while. And since you're not using it, or neither am I, in that way, you're like, you don't have that like crux on it. Like some weekends, I buy some cheap ass vodka because I'm not trying to spend no money on no liquor.
Yeah.
Like $7 bottle of vodka, finish it off over the weekend. And I might not drink again for months. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like maybe that weekend I felt like it.
Well, let me ask you this. When you buy the vodka for yourself, is just you chilling in the crib?
Yeah.
Are you like making cocktails? Or are you just literally just drinking some cheap ass vodka?
I drink cheap ass vodka and I get some Ocean Spray cranberry juice.
Okay, all right.
Well, mix it with vodka.
At least you mixing it or something.
But I'm throwing some shots in between that shit.
Oh my
god! And then after about two or three of these vodka and cranberries,
yeah.
And now I'm faded. I'm like, why am I even adding the cranberry? Just fucking drink the vodka, right?
Well, yeah, because once you fade it, like, you might as well save that shit for the kids.
So then I'm good. And, this may not be safe for work or, you know, whatever you're watching. The wife loves it when I'm off that vodka, if I'm paying attention to her. Sometimes I'm gaming or some shit. And really, I don't like the game when I'm drunk because half the time I don't remember.
There it is right there.
What?
There it is right there.
What?
You just said it. When you're under the influence, you don't like the game. So if you're not gaming, what's the next best thing? You're not real big on sports like me. You're going to go cuddle up and snuggle up next to your wife.
Snuggle up, nigga. I do way more than that. But I get what you're saying.
Well, whatever. Bust cheeks. Break the walls. Peel the paint. Whatever.
Yeah, but I do. If I game while I'm drinking, it's a game that doesn't require me to like pay attention. It's just like an action game.
You're not trying to solve quests in Zelda while you're under the influence.
Now, I might be able to do it. The problem is when I turn the game on the next day,
you're gonna forget everything you did.
Where did I even get to this?
You can't do it. You can't do it, bro.
Yeah. So like, I try not to do that. Plus, I'm one of those like lovey-dovey drunks. Like I've been drunk at home, and all my kids at home, and I'm hugging on everybody and shit, saying shit. And my oldest daughter, she drinks, so she knows what's up. She asks the next day, "You good, Dad?" Yeah, why? It's like, you know why. She know, but the younger ones may not know.
Right.
So it's just that. Like sometimes on the weekend, I'm just chilling at home and I have one. But then, like I said, I might not drink again for months after that one time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes I'll have a bottle for 2 weeks in a row. You know what I'm saying? And then not for months. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not like I'm trying to suppress some feelings or my life sucks. I'm drinking all the time and shit. So I think the same thing goes for you with weed or what other stuff. It's like something you just do recreationally, have fun to relax after a long weekend or a day at work or something like that. You know, so I think, like I said, since we're not using it to cover up some pain or to take the place of something lost, it doesn't occur to be.
Man, that alcoholism is real because I would probably say the first time I experienced somebody with alcoholism was when I first moved to New York. I was staying with my grandma and her roommate. Shout out to, everybody called him Connie, but his name was Conrad James. Love that dude, man. He was almost like my nanny for the most part. Because, you know, I'm like 8 years old and whatnot in the Bronx. And this dude, he had a routine. He would make me a sandwich. After he makes me a sandwich and a drink, you know, because this is back when I go watch Nickelodeon. It's back when Nickelodeon was dope. He'd go into the room. He'd get a little bottle, a little pop off, the little thing like this. Georgie, whatever the little vodka things is called. He'd go sit right there on his little couch, watch the Yankee game. Every day, that was his process. He'd have a little Georgie, little bottle of Georgie from the vodka. I think that's what it's called, Georgie.
Yeah, I know it's called.
Yeah. Sit on the couch, watch his baseball game. And every day he got a bottle of Georgie. And it wasn't no real big bottle, but it was big enough the to where
$3-4 joint probably, yeah.
It was at least a $10 size bottle. It was pretty big.
Cheap vodka for $10, you get a bottle like this big, bro.
Yeah.
So if it was like that, it's like 5 to 6
so, bottles okay. like
that. All right. Anyway, don't matter.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just like his process. That and lotto cards. It was that and lotto. And he in the old school lotto where you get the number and he's doing the numbers. He wasn't doing no quick picks. Like he had the set numbers that he always played. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, shout out that dude, man. That was a good dude, man. I hate how he left.
I only personally interacted with a serious alcoholic once. I worked with him. He was a good ass dude. I'm not going to say his name.
Good job.
It's a job for a business that's now defunct. At the time, I was helping a guy launch a business where he launched like 6 or 7 mobile cell phone repair vans.
Okay. So RS, you were going?
No, it wasn't them.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't them. But I can see why you were thinking.
Yeah. Well, you said defunct. That's what I was like.
But no, there was a small business that he founded and then it went out of business. I jumped ship before that happened because I saw that coming. But anyway,
yeah.
Towards the end of my stint, this dude I was working with there, I had worked with him at another place before. Not directly, he just worked at the same place. Now, in this place, we're working together. And at the end of my stint there, I was riding in the van with this person. I've never met, like, this dude was hardcore alcoholic. He drank always, but you couldn't tell. He was fine. He wasn't like, it's trippy to me because I'm sitting in the passenger seat watching this nigga continuously drink. Thinking to myself, should not be concerned that I'm driving down the highway in this big ass van with this nigga shooting vodka while we're driving these.
Right. Yeah, you should be.
But nah, he was one of those people that drank so much that he needed to drink to be normal. So he didn't like, he wasn't like a fallout drink. Like, he drank and that shit would just bring him back to normal. Mm-hmm. Thing about this alcoholic dude, he's one of the coolest motherfuckers I knew. And he was trying to go straight. When I say straight, I mean his entire family was connected and all kinds of underground illegal shit and throughout the fucking city. Gotcha. So he was trying to work this job here to go straight and not be involved with all that shit because his mother had recently died. And he told her that he would go straight.
Yeah, it was a dying wish.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a dying wish, but he told her he would go straight, right? But, of course, when your entire family is plugged in like that, you're in it even if you're not in it.
Yep.
So one day after we stopped and got some tacos and some alcohol from the liquor store, now we both drinking. He got a call from his cousin. His cousin needed to come pick something up for him or whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what this nigga was into at the time. Right. So when he said I need to stop at my cousin's place, I was like, okay, whatever. We pull up to his cousin's place. Mm-hmm. It looks like a burned out strip center. There's no businesses in it. But one of the businesses has a metal gate and a camera.
Okay.
I see the camera. I'm like, we walk up, bang, gate opens. Go inside you in the middle room that has two cameras.
Yeah.
Another gate opens. You go over to the left.
What the fuck?
You go inside, big ass illegal casino. Filled with people, slot machines, all kinds of shit.
What year and state was this?
This was here, and this was 2019.
Okay. Oh, damn. Recent.
Yeah. So we turn the corner, and bro, this is like a fucking Japanese gangster movie. It's a big fat Asian guy sitting at a table with a bunch of money on a table and a shotgun laid on top of the money. So he goes, yo, dude's name started with a C. I'm going to call him C. He's like, yo, C, what's up? He's like, what's up? Like, my boy C says, what's up, all fucking casually.
Yeah.
I come around the corner. Big dude looks at me, the fuck, reaches for a shotgun, right? C's like, nah, he's with me. He's cool. He's cool? He's cool. So, all right. I'm like, what has this fucking guy got me into, bro?
Yeah.
I'm wondering why he got all this money out. He take all the money, he go over to the ATM machine they had inside the place to put all the money in the ATM so people can come pull money out and gamble, whatever, right? Now, and then the cool thing about it is this place had like a little mini kitchen filled with like food and snacks. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And they was like, oh, we do this shit to keep these people here. Like, so they have to leave to go get something to eat or whatever. Mm-hmm. They pay to whatever they pay to get in. And then this, all this shit here is free.
Complimentary. Smart.
And the motherfuckers was in there. Mad people was in there gambling. It was like surprising. Mm-hmm. That was just in the front.
Yeah.
We go to the back room. Now we on some real gangster guns and money and drugs and shit all over the fucking place. Mm. And I'm standing there looking, and his cousin sees me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, who the fuck is this guy, and why is he looking like that? And C's like, he's good, man. He's cool. Don't worry about him. He's hella cool. He's like, all right. Now, I'm thinking to myself, after seeing all this shit, that this nigga's word to simply say I'm cool and they good, mm-hmm. like, this nigga's connected.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, I need you to take this package, bro. This is some shit straight out of movie. Big ass duffel bag. I need you to take this over to, he said the dude's name.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. He's like, okay, cool. Dude hands me the bag.
Yeah.
It's in my hands. I'm like, fuck. Because now I'm accessory to whatever the fuck is happening. I'm holding this bag. So as we start to walk out, I'm like, I don't want to be accessory. So I'm like, here, bro. I don't want to like carry it to the van. So I'm like, here, nigga. He's like, nah, bro. Like, we got to get out and shit. In order to get out, like, I got to go through the gate first. I'm like, why the fuck you got to go through the gate first? He's like, oh, I got something on me that passes when we get through that shit. I'm like, I'm not even going to ask no questions. Okay. We get out to the van. I put the fucking bag in the back. This nigga swigging more alcohol. But again, like, he's real cool.
Yeah, he's
drinking the whole time. He has to.
Right.
We get to the fucking place we're going to. You know what this place is? It's a fucking Asian restaurant. Pull up to the restaurant. He asks for the guy's name at the front counter. Mm-hmm. The lady who's at the front counter just fucking nods and walks away. I'm like, where am I, bro? Old Asian guy comes out the back.
Yeah.
Looks at him, then looks at me. Tells me, like, looks me right now and says, you wait here.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, fuck. I look at him, look at C. C's like, yeah, just sit down right there. I'm like, man. Like, what am I in right now? He go in the back, come out with a whole different bag.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go back. So now we get in the van. I'm like, dude, you got to fucking tell me what's happening now.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. So, you know, we got family businesses. They're stuck because something's happened over there. Usually they would run this. Oh, also, by the way, I forgot. They had put in an order for food at this fucking place, too. So we order food. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, get whatever you want.
Yeah,
so I ordered that shit, too, right?
Yeah, it's the front.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, well, you know, basically money launder. We send him X amount, and we get X amount back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. That's the thing. I was like, is he a family member or something? He's like, nope, just a business associate. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool.
Basically, what just happened with me not even being there, they brought the dirty money from the casino over there and they cleaned it out. We're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brought it back over there. And he's like, all right, what you want to do now after all this shit?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm good. He's like, okay, well, I'm still hungry. I'm like, you're still hungry? He said, but I want something else. So his fucking another family member owns and runs some of the poke bowl places.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one owns and runs some P.F. Chang's. So this thing is like picking up food. And then he gave me like 20 of those $20 gift cards for P.F. Chang's. Like, oh, yeah, if you ever want to eat some shit, you hungry, here you go. Bam.
Yeah.
I'm like, the fuck? And he's like, also, come with me. We're going to do something else so you can take someone home to your family. We went by one of them pho places.
Yeah.
And he bought a bunch of those Asian sandwiches and shit. Like a bunch of like 12 of them shits.
Okay.
He's like, here's four of them. You know, eat one now. You know, take them to wherever the fuck you're going. And this nigga the whole time drinking, right?
Yeah.
So the next, I say 2 or 3 days later, I'm riding with again. We get in the car and I'm like, oh, we're about to be in for another good time. About to get a bunch of free food and chill and all this shit, right? This nigga sweating, shaking. I'm like, the fuck is wrong with you? He's trying not to drink.
Yeah.
He was like trying to stop drinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, I made him get in the passenger seat. And I took him to a liquor store and bought him some liquor.
He's
like, you can't cold turkey like that. Like, if you're going to stop drinking, like, you got to wean yourself off. You can't just stop drinking. Like, the way this nigga drank, you can't just stop drinking.
Well,
as soon as I gave him that vodka, bro, he was good. Yeah. He was, like, good. He's like, let me get the, all right, let's, we're going to hit the streets again. But before that, when he was trying to, I bullshit you not, bro. Bro looked sick. He had bags under his eyes. Mm-hmm. He was sweating and shaking and shit. He couldn't even hold the steering wheel. Gave this nigga some cheap ass, like, $7 vodka. This nigga downed that shit like it was water And then he was good 5 minutes later. It was crazy. That's the only time I've ever been around an alcoholic like that. But he was, but he wasn't a violent drunk or no shit like that. He was cool as fuck.
He was a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, but he needed that shit. And I think he eventually did get off the alcohol because I've seen that he's like lost a lot of weight and shit now. Mm. But he was like a puffy dude before. Yeah. But now he like thinned all the way out. It looked weird because his head seemed kind of big on that body now. But shout out to my man C. If you watching this, you know who the fuck you are.
What's up, man? Hey, yo, C, anytime you want to go gambling, when I hit me up, and go to that little spot, get some of that food and drinks. shit, you want to wrap it there? Or you want?
Yeah, we can wrap it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was a good story time, and it's like I always say, like, share, subscribe, and comment. This is Verbal Gunplay, and we out. Peace. Yeah, so it's going to provide the listeners some good little story time.
Yeah.